Music meant to be played by two pianists on two pianos is its own seductive musical universe. In addition to the music itself, there's the sheer spectacle of it, the image of 2 9-foot shiny concert grands positioned back to back with curves interlocked. The players seated at the two keyboards facing each other. It's especially interesting when two pianists with separate musical lives come together to merge, somehow, their gifts. This breathless pairing of Martha Argerich and Nelson Freyre, for instance, in a Rachmaninoff piece, is one I keep coming back to, for the intense precision of it. Chick Corea and Herbie Hancock sit at two grand pianos from time to time. In that case, they're both improvising, so there's a mix of harmony and, at times, friendly competition. Somewhat new and very notable performers on two pianos are two star solo players, Leif Ove Andsnes and Marc-André Hamelin. That's Hamelin, originally from Canada, a dazzler with a spectacular technique and a much admired clarity in his playing.
We were both so driven by the desire to represent the music as best we could.
And that is Andsnes, Norwegian, a lyrical and contemplative player appreciated for his grace and style.
It needs to be quite precise when you have two pianists together because it is a very precise instrument, the piano.
While continuing their stellar solo careers, they now sometimes play together in concert and on recordings, tackling some of the most celebrated and challenging two-piano music. Most recently, it's been music by Stravinsky, including the composer's own piano version of his 1913 masterpiece, The Rite of Spring. It was intended for rehearsal and was played by two pianists at one piano initially. Then it grew into a two-piano extravaganza. When the idea came up for them to play The Rite of Spring, it was met, shall we say, with some resistance from Andsnes.
I thought that was crazy. I didn't even know there was a piano version of the piece. And I thought, this is the orchestra piece. How can one do that on pianos?
That's true. Rite of Spring is the ultimate showpiece for orchestra, and that's what people are used to hearing. But,
you know, when you hear it for orchestra, the orchestration is so overwhelming that sometimes you don't hear maybe so clearly the chords or so clearly the structure of the rhythms.
As I was working on it, I did reacquaint myself with the orchestral version. But in my ear, when I think of the piece, it's mostly the piano version that I have in mind.
Sometimes they even found in the orchestra original a melody they wanted to stress more on piano, or something that was omitted from the arrangement. So they just threw it in to bring it into the light.
We found a way somehow through this thicket of notes to make it heard.
Once they emerged from the thicket, there were revelations in the clearing too, which surprised both of them.
Because I thought that would be the orchestration in the orchestra version which made it like that, magical sounds.
But the magic survived.
And that sort of floating quality that it has really comes true in the piano version.
They've recorded other Stravinsky pieces too, and it's interesting to see how they, as a team, achieve a particular sound in those, almost like a small orchestra. The sly charm of Stravinsky's tango is very much present. They get new colors altogether in the circus polka. They both mentioned with excitement the short piece called Madrid, originally written for player piano.
It's very mechanistic sounding, even though it has the exuberance of Spanish music, seen through Stravinsky's lens, of course.
But what I really wanted to know was what happens between them on stage. Here they are, two musicians, used to having the complete control and the complete isolation of the concert stage, one pianist and the audience. Now, when they play together, there are two. I asked Hamlin to tell me about a memorable moment, and that took us back to an especially bold section of The Rite of Spring.
Yes, and Lifeover would agree with me because it's a moment that I told him I always listen for, and I feel incredibly excited when I play it. It's before the last segment of the Danse Sacrale, the very latest part. And he's down there rumbling away. And there's a sudden increase in intensity. And I told him, you know, I want you to make as much noise as you possibly can.
Last season, they played The Rite live in concert on a number of occasions.
During the concerts, you know, whenever that moment happened, he always looked at me to see my reaction and my obvious level of enjoyment. I'm very proud of that moment.
We know so well what a piano can produce, but then to be part of what two pianos can produce has been part of the great joy here.
The joy of listening to and looking across at your piano partner. That seems to be one of the prime pleasures of playing together on 176 keys. It's Fishko Files. I'm Sarah Fishko.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.